Because Brahma was born directly from Lord Vishnu, he is called Atma Yoni. He is called Bhagavan, although generally Bhagavan refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Sometimes great personalities such as demigods like Brahma, Narada, Shiva are also addressed as Bhagavan because they carry out the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma is called Bhagavan because he is the secondary creator of the universe. He is always thinking of how to improve the situation of the conditioned souls who have come to the material world to enjoy material activities. For this reason, he disseminates the Vedic knowledge throughout the universe for everyone's guidance. So this is the first part where Srila Prabhupada says about how sometimes someone other than the Supreme Lord is also called by the name Bhagavan. Then he goes on further. Vedic knowledge is divided into two parts, Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. Nivritti Marg is the path of negating sense enjoyment, and Pravritti Marg is the path in which the living entities are given a chance to enjoy and at the same time are directed in such a way that they can go back home, back to Godhead. Because ruling over this universe is a great responsibility, Brahma must force many Manus in different ages to take charge of universal affairs. Under each Manu, there are different kings who also execute the purpose of Lord Brahma. It is understood from previous explanations that the father of Dhruva Maharaj, King Uttanappa, ruled over the universe because his elder brother Priyavrat practiced austerity from the very beginning of his life. Thus, up to the point of Prachetas, the kings of the universe were all descendants of Uttanappa Maharaj. Since there were no suitable kings, after the Prachetas, Swayambhava Manu went to Gandhamadana Hill to bring back his elder son, Priyavrat, who was meditating there. Swayambhava Manu requested Priyavrat to rule over the universe. When he refused, Lord Brahma descended from the supreme planetary system known as Satyaloka to request Priyavrat to accept the order. Lord Brahma did not come alone. He came with other great sages like Marichi, Atreya and Vasishtha to convince Priyavrata that it was necessary for him to follow the Vedic injunctions and accept the responsibility of ruling over the world. Lord Brahma also brought with him the personified Vedas, his constant associates. So in this paragraph, Prabhupada is saying about how Brahma was ordering Priyavrata to take up the universal rule despite Priyavrata not wanting to accept the kingly order, being a mendicant. So Prabhupada uses the word force. Brahma must force many Manus in different ages to take charge of universal affairs because it was a great responsibility. Then he says the last part here, last paragraph. A significant word in this verse is Svabhavanat, indicating that Lord Brahma descended from his own abode. Every demigod has his own abode. Indra, the king of demigods, has his own abode, as do Chandra, the lord of moon planet, and Surya, the predominating deity of the sun planet. There are many millions of demigods, and the stars and planets are their respective homes. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. Those who worship the demigods go to their different planetary systems. Lord Brahma's abode, the highest planetary system, is called Satyaloka or sometimes Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka usually refers to the spiritual world. The abode of Lord Brahma is Satyaloka, but because Lord Brahma resides there, it is also sometimes called Brahmaloka. So here Prabhupada talks about how every planet has a presiding deity, just like Brahma's abode. Similarly, the Surya Loka, Chandra Loka, they have their presiding master deity. And in this way, all the stars, they all have their chief presiding deity. Om Ajnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuh Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam
Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
I was requesting His Holiness Bhakti Brihad Bhagavat Maharaj to give the lecture today. So I was requesting and pleading, but he was ordering and instructing me that I have to speak the lecture today. So on his order, seeking blessings from him and all of you, I'd like to say a few words from this wonderful purport of Srila Prabhupada. The context here is Maharaj Priyavrat, having taken to the order of a mendicant, he would not be interested naturally in becoming a king of the whole universe. Swayambhu Manu goes to request him, but Priyavrat politely refused, accepting that order. Then Swayambhu Manu knew that preached by Narada, who was a very powerful devotee of the Lord, Priyavrat has lost all material inclination for accepting the kingly order. So he goes to Brahma, and here we find Brahma descending from his own abode, and Brahma is going to order Priyavrat. There are a series of verses which you will follow about how Brahma told him that it is the order of Lord Vishnu on you that you should accept the kingly order. The first part of the purport, Prabhupada is talking about how different people in this world could also be called by the name Bhagavan other than Krishna. See, Srila Prabhupada step by step establishes these truths in his purports. Like whenever anybody would stand up in the middle of a classroom and say, I am God, Bhagavan, Prabhupada would challenge them. Prabhupada would challenge him, are you Bhagavan? Are you the richest? Are you the strongest? Are you the most famous? There was one boy in one university, when Prabhupada was giving a lecture, he stood up and said, Swamiji, I am doing a research on absurdity, on theory of absurdity. And he said, the realization of my doctorate work is that I am the center of the universe, he said. And Prabhupada immediately responded, that's what every living entity thinks, he said. And then Prabhupada said, if you think you are that God, you have to prove yourself. Of course, when Prabhupada would ask such a question, naturally the fellow who stood up would sit down. In this way, Prabhupada, without insulting them, he practically proved to them what it means to be Bhagavan. Bhaga means the opulence. Unless one exhibits the six opulences, he can't claim as Bhagavan. So, if anybody else calls oneself as Bhagavan, it is criticized, condemned very strongly, especially by Vaishnavas. Like you hear in the newspaper headlines, Bhagavan hospitalized. Bhagavan so and so. Bhagavan can never be hospitalized. Bhagavan has a body which is completely Satchidananda Vigraha. So in that manner, Srila Prabhupada in many places condemns the Mayavadis or impersonalists who claim to be Bhagavan. And Prabhupada's reply is this, very simple. Bhagavan never becomes Bhagavan by meditation. Bhagavan is Bhagavan right from birth. When Krishna is born in the jail of Kamsa, he is having blackish locks of hair, and all jewelry, Kaustubha Mani, and nicely dressed up, and a smiling child, born in the jail of Kamsa. Have you ever seen any child laughing at the time of birth? Generally all children, they cry. Have you ever seen a child with blackish hair at the time of birth? Have you ever seen a child born with jewelry and Kaustubha Mani and everything? So, on the very day of Krishna's appearance, he was Bhagavan. He has been Bhagavan. Similarly, Prabhupada says, in the lap of Mother Yashoda, or while killing Putana, he was Bhagavan. You will see, Sukadeva Goswami uses the word Balakam, Balakam all through. And as soon as Krishna picked up, Putana picked up Krishna and put Krishna on her lap, then he uses the word Bhagavan. Because he is going to show that he is Bhagavan. The next few moments. So, Balakam Ambujekshanam, he has eyes like lotus petals. Very nicely he keeps saying, and then now he will show that he is Bhagavan. As a child, Krishna proved that he is Bhagavan. While he was playing with covered boys, he drank the forest fire and killed so many demons. He proved himself to be Bhagavan. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he proved to be Bhagavan. So, Prabhupada would use these examples and illustrations to say that Bhagavan is Krishna and no one else. And the later development of this word, Bhagavan, in one of the purports, or many purports, Prabhupada explains. See, this is the Bhagavatam 4th canto, Prabhupada says, a great personality who exhibits extraordinary and uncommon features. Or one who attains the greatest goal after his disappearance, and who knows the difference between knowledge and ignorance, he can be called as Bhagavan, he says. See, here he says, Narada is always absorbed in thoughts of Supreme. Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Avishtatma. Avishta means absorption. Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Avishtatma. If somebody is having this qualification, he can be called Bhagavan, he says. Somebody is so absorbed in Krishna that even for a moment he cannot forget Krishna. Such a person can be called a Bhagavan Narada, Bhagavan Shiva, like that, Bhagavan Vyas, Bhagavan Badarayani. These kind of words are used in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Avishtatma. Now, only two people can be called Bhagavan. Either Bhagavan himself, who is Krishna, who has six opulences in full, or one who is carrying Krishna in his heart 24 hours a day, always. They can be called Bhagavan. Why? Because they become empowered by the Supreme Bhagavan also. Narada was empowered to curse Narakur Manigrib to become trees. And not just curse them, damn them to become trees, but subsequently become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Baba, and witness the beautiful pastimes of Krishna till the age of 3. And then subsequently be delivered by Krishna. That means those who are Bhagavan Narada type of devotees, they have the ability to control Krishna also. Narada, by his love for Krishna, he made Krishna go between those two trees with his grinding mortar and break down those trees and deliver Nalakur Manigrif. In fact, when Narada, you all know, Narada himself was cursed when he was a demigod from the heaven to become a Dasiputra. And now when Narada saw Nalakur Manigrif practically nude and misbehaving in Mandakini Ganga, he gave them a curse to become trees. And then he went to Narayana Ashram, it is said, which is in Badrika Ashram. Narada was feeling in his heart whether did I do the right thing by cursing these two fellows. Because it was a very serious thing. Because cursing them to become trees means You know, they would die first as demigods, isn't it? And then they would get the body of trees. Imagine, in Kubera's kingdom, there must have been a very great chaos when he would come to know that his two sons, grown-up sons, they died. Everybody would talk about it. So, Narada, when he went to Badrikashram, just wanting to check what the Lord would say about this, whether he was right or wrong in doing that. At that time, even before he reached Badrikashram, the Supreme Lord was already planning that since Narada has made these two fellows into trees for their purification and their deliverance, now it's time for me to descend as Krishna. And the Lord thought, now it's time, now I have to, 28th millennium of the 8th Manu, time is coming, I have to become, in fact, even before Krishna appeared, these two trees were there, behind Nanda Bhavan. So, Lord acts according to the dictation of his devotees. When Narada went there, Narada knew that I didn't have to ask a question to the Lord, whether I did right or wrong. Lord knows everything. Lord actually congratulated him, appreciated him, for giving this Nalakur Manigri a promotion from platform of piety to platform of spirituality. Actually, a demigod body means piety. And they had degraded from piety to sinful platform, and Narada Muni elevated them to platform of spirituality to see Lord face to face. So a pure devotee's curse or blessing ultimately is a blessing only. That is why it's called Bhagavan Narada. Because endowed by the empowerment of the Supreme Lord, he had the ability to curse these two fellows to become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and watch these wonderful pastimes and subsequently be delivered by the hand of Krishna. And when Krishna, in the Ukalbandhan Leela, when he was seeing those two trees, what thought came to his mind? Immediately he was thinking, oh, these are the two fellows sent by Narada, my pure devotee. And now I have to deliver them to please my devotee. This is the power of Lord's devotees. As Lord Narayana told Durvasa Muni also, Maye nirbaddha hridaya sarvatra samadarshanaha vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya satpatim satstriya yata. He said, my dear Brahmana Durvasa, you have come to me to be saved from the Swarshan Chakra. But let me tell you, my hands and legs are bound. I cannot save you. Why? Because my devotees have trapped me in their hearts. I am bound by their love, by their compact of love. In fact, he said, just like a wife keeps her, a chaste wife keeps her gentle husband under her control. Like that, my devotees keep me under their control. And I am practically having no freedom. Just like, you see how much people work hard nowadays. You see, a man who is ITI or a diploma may be working in a company 12-14 hours a day. He gets some, you know, 10-20,000 rupees salary. A supervisor works little lesser. He just supervises. And he may get double the salary. And the MD may be sitting in his office, you know, hardly having to go to the shop floor. And he gets a very big salary. But he also does a lot of work, many phone calls and everything. Is it not true? But the owner of the company may come at 12 o'clock and go back at 2 o'clock. He hardly does any work. But he takes all the profit of the company. But the wife of the MD, she doesn't go to company only. She is sitting at home. And this fellow goes and gives the whole salary back to her. So Lord's devotee is like that. Lord's devotee is like the wife of the owner of the company. Now why does the company, in fact she may not even know the name of the company also, many times. But because of her love for him, he is sold out to her, he gives all the money to her. Similarly, Krishna gives himself to his devotees, while the karmis and jnanis and yogis work very hard, whereas the devotees only work is just pleasing Krishna, that's all. If he pleases him, then Krishna becomes sold out, you see. In this way, that is why Lord's devotees are called Bhagavan, Narada. In the sense of Sakshat Haritvena Samastha Shastra. Haritva, Haritvata means to exhibit the quality of Bhagavan. Like you see, the qualities of a pure devotee are also similar to the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Like in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Narayana and the Vishnu Dutas, they look alike. And the qualities are similar. The only difference is, the Lord has the Kaustubha Mani in his chest, and in potency he has unlimited potency. Whereas the devotees are all his servants, subordinate servants. So this Bhagavan word is not used in a Mayavadi sense. The Mayavadis use the word Bhagavan in the sense that, move God aside and we will sit in his place. That which is actually condemned by Vaishnavas. You see, when Lord Rishabhadeva appeared in this world, at that time, Indra became envious of Rishabhadeva. It seems Indra becomes envious of anybody in this world who becomes a little powerful. Rishabhadeva was having mystic powers. So as soon as he appeared in the world, Indra became envious. See, here there is a verse from 5th canto. It says, Yasya hi Indraha spardamano Bhagavan varshe na bavarsha. It says, Yasya hi Indraha. Indra, spardamana means he competed with, he was having a competition with Bhagavan, Rishabhadev. Varshe na bavarsha, varsha is Bharata varsha. In Bharata varsha, na bavarsha, he says. He was not giving the reins for Bharata varsha. Tat avadharya Bhagavan Rishabhadevo Yogeshwaraha Prahasyatma. He says, that Rishabhadev, who is the supreme master of all mystics, he smiled. Prahasya means he smiled seeing this. Oh, Indra, you are not giving reins because you are envious of me. So what did he do? Atma yoga mayaya sva varsham ajanabham namabhya varshat. He says, by his own mystic potency, he made rain shower all over the country. In Bharata Varsha, he says. So the word Bhagavan is used for two people here. See, Yasahi Indra Spardamano Bhagavan, it says. Bhagavan Indra, the word is used there. And for Rishabhadeva also, it says, Bhagavan Rishabhadeva. So one Bhagavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabhadeva. Another Bhagavan is one who is invested with special power. Like Indra, a great personality who exhibits extraordinary power. So, here it's clearly said, Indra, king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabhadev. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharata Varsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadev, the master of all mystic power, understood Indra's purpose. And he smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yogamaya, he profusely poured water upon his own place. As it is. So in this way, we can know, although we can call some very powerful people in this world as Bhagavan, they cannot equal the Supreme Lord at any time. Supreme Lord is Supreme Lord. But sometimes Lord wants to give this title Bhagavan to his devotees. Why? In order to respect them and in order for the people to understand their greatness. Just like we say, if a person becomes a sannyasi, we call him Maharaj. Somebody may say, we are calling Maharaj, but he doesn't have any money. He's a fakir. He's a bhikari. Is it not true? How do you call an ordinary man who has taken sannyas as a Maharaj? So why they are called as Maharaj, although they don't have a single penny? Because they have controlled their senses and mind. They are called as Maharaj because everything in this world belongs to a person who has controlled his senses. Bhagavatam says, all the wealth of this world belongs to only Brahmanas. Others can also take, it says. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras can take also some money from this world. But everything in this creation belongs to Brahmanas. That doesn't mean Brahmanas can enjoy and exploit them. The idea is, Brahmanas will not use a single penny for their selfish gratification. They will use everything only for Lord's service. That is why it belongs to Brahmanas. The moment a Brahmana becomes exploitative, is no more a Brahmana after that. So, and another meaning of the word Maharaj is, why they are called as Maharaj? You would have heard in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is an example, when the dark clouds in the sky, when there is a lightning upon those clouds, immediately they are tore down and they pour down water subsequently. Similarly, by the inspiration of Vaishnava, a very wealthy person may release all his money for the welfare of, for the all-round welfare of all living entities. He may release like that. So, which means, a sannyasi is actually the head of all the other classes. Brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and also brahman, chatriya, vaishya, for all of them. They rule the people not by money power, they rule the people not by bahubal, they rule the people by the spiritual strength. That is why they are called Maharaja. Another type of Maharaja is the king who rules the public. He is also called as Maharaja. Similarly, the Bhagavan word is used in two different sense in this purport. In the second part of the purport I was reading, Prabhupada says, Brahma must force many Manus in different ages to take charge of universal affairs. You may wonder, why should Brahma force them? Nowadays, you find in the parliament, people are pulling each other's hands to sit on the chair, to occupy the post. They are ready to take the mic and talk ill of so many other rival politicians, if you see, in order to throw them away and occupy their posts and positions. But if our politicians and the head of the state could be given information from Shastra that they have to take 1/6 of the bad karma of all the public, probably they will run away from there. They may not want to occupy the post. And Kali Yuga people commit more sins also. So the 1/6 is going to be a thick, black, very dangerous quantity of sin for them to accept. So, in the Vedic times, even the kings were so spiritually minded that they wanted to wind up and go back home, back to Godhead as soon as possible. They did not want to occupy this post. Now, there is a verse in Swayambhava Manu, when Swayambhava Manu is taking off from his post as a king of the world, there is a beautiful verse that is spoken. This is also coming in the fifth canto later. It says, Manurapi parenaivam pratisandita manorataha. Manorataha means his mental aspiration was fulfilled, it is said. What was his mental aspiration for King Manu? Parenaivam, by Brahma. Surarishi varanu maten atmajam akila dhara mandala stiti guptaya asthapya. This was his desire. That akila dhara mandala stiti guptaya. He wanted to put a king in his place for stiti and gupta. Stiti means maintenance and gupta means protection. Asthapya. He wanted to seat someone else in his place. Akila dhara mandala means for the whole universe. By Sura Rishi Varanu Matena, by the permission of Narada it happened, he says. And what was that? Placing Priyavrat Maharaj as the king. And then what happened to Swayambhava Manu after placing Priyavrat as a king? What did he do? Swayam Ati Vishama Vishaya Vishajala Shayashya Upararama, it is said. Ati Vishama means very dangerous. Vishaya means material enjoyment. Visha means poison. Visha jala, jalashaya, ashaya. All the material desires that we have to enjoy this material world, they are called as visha jalashaya. They are like a poison, stock of poison. See the word used here. He thus achieved relief from the most dangerous, poisonous ocean of material desires by placing Priyavrata as a king. Which means, accepting a very big post in this world as a king is considered to be drinking poison willingly. Just like in that song he sings, you know, Hari Hari Vifale Janam Gavainu Manushya Janama Paya Radha Krishna Navajiya Janiya Shuniya Visha Kainu. He's saying, Janiya Shuniya Visha Kainu. Knowingly I have drunk poison, he's saying. It's very surprising, is it not? Why should one fear to accept a post, the one which is most hankered by the common people? People generally hanker to occupy a very big post, and that too being the king of the whole world. Why one would not want? Because a king like Swayambhava Manu or Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, such kings knew very well that occupying the post of a king is very dangerous for various reasons. One reason I told you just now, 1/6 of the sinful activities of the living entities will come on the king. That's one thing we have just now heard. Another thing, the person sitting in the post of a king has to perfectly represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will be called by the name Naradev. People will worship him like God, but he should not think, I am God. The moment he thinks, I am God, he is finished. And that's what King Vena thought. When Vena occupied the post, Vena was a very, very naughty child, even as a small boy. But when he grew up, you know, his father, King Anga, who was a very, very pure soul, he got fed up with Vena, the atrocities of Vena. He tried to correct his mischief, punish him, but Vena wouldn't change at all. At one time, King Anga, being fed up with this, he ran away into the jungle. And then he decided to take Vanaprastha. Nobody could find him out. At that time, the Brahmanas heard the sounds of robbers running here and there and looting the public, creating too much mischief. So they had a meeting and they decided, maybe, you know, your blind uncle is better than no uncle. Let us post Vena as the king. They knew actually that Vena could become more mischievous if he is posted as a king. Because you see, like the monkey is very naughty. If you see a monkey in Vrindavan, sometimes you find when they walk on the roof, they just cannot peacefully walk. They'll walk some distance, like that, they'll make a sound. You've seen that? Or if they catch a pole or something, they'll be, you know, moving the pole like this and then leave it and go. They just cannot. So similarly, they thought that this Vena, he has already shown his naughty behavior before. Now if he is made the king, then he may misuse all the resources for increasing his naughty behavior. They were aware of it. But still they decided that we are only posting him and we can dethrone him whenever we want. See, if they didn't have the ability to dethrone him, they should not post him. Brahmanas had the power to enthrone the king and dethrone the king. So they thought of giving a try in order to. Now one may ask, why don't one of the Brahmanas take the power? But they would not give up their own dharma. A Brahmana is not supposed to become a king of the world. Rather, he is supposed to become advisor to the king. So they didn't want to accept the role of the king themselves. So when they posted Vena as the king, Vena became extremely atrocious. This is the problem when one is posted in such a big position. He in fact told Brahmanas, you cannot do any yajna. You are all becoming like unchaste prostitutes. You are worshipping devatas instead of worshipping me. I am called Naradev. You should worship me. I am the Supreme Lord. He forgot his representative of Supreme Lord. He called himself the Supreme Lord. And the Brahmanas, controlling their anger, they were externally smiling, internally angry. And they were telling Vena, my dear king, if you act as a righteous king, as a pious king, you will go to heaven and you will take all your people with you to heaven. And if you act like the way you are acting now, irreligiously, you will lose your good fortune, you will lose your position, you will lose all your opulence and power that you have now, and you will degrade. So they warned him as politely as they could, but King Vena was not in a mood to hear. Ultimately, simply by like that one sound of dissatisfaction, they finished him, King Vena. So this is another problem. When one becomes the king, instead of executing his duties as a king, what is the duty of a king? That Krishna himself shows in Dwaraka, how ideal king should live. He wakes up early in the morning, he is not sleeping in the bed till 8 o'clock, asking for a bed coffee. He is rising very early in the morning, when the cock is crowing in the morning. He is taking his bath. And whom will he meditate on? He is meditating on himself only. Krishna is meditating and he is worshipping the demigods. He is giving charity to all the brahmanas who are coming, fulfilling the duties of ideal grihastha king. Like in the Vedic times, like I heard in South India, there was a king of Travancore. So he would go in his golden chariot and when he would come across the temple, which is at the end of the street, he would keep his chariot and he would walk barefoot over the pebbles and stones to reach the temple and circumambulate the deities and offer obeisances and worship the deities, and all the praja would watch it. See, people should see the king worshipping the Lord, then they will simply follow in his footsteps. They would also worship. They should see the king delighting in hearing Bhagavad Katha, then they also would want to hear, like Janaka Maharaj used to hear Bhagavad Katha regularly. And their interest was so deep. So, I heard once Janaka Maharaj every day used to hear Bhagavad Katha regularly. And one day the Bhagavad Katha didn't start because he was a little late. And the other Brahmanas were telling, let us begin the class, let us go on. King can join always late. Such Katha cannot wait for the king. Anyway, they just began and Janak came running. And he asked, I missed the class, little bit of it. Please tell me what happened. He was very curious. So, the speaker of the Bhagavatam wanted to tell those Brahmanas that the interest of Janaka Maharaj was far superior than even the other Brahmanas. So he sent a chit to somebody, and in the middle of the class somebody came and said, all the houses are on fire, my dear king, he said. And immediately those Brahmanas got up catching their dhoti. And which houses are? Our houses are also on fire. The fellow said, I don't know. They said, better go and check. They ran away from there. And the king just clapped hands and said to his servants, go and see what happened. And then he told, continue Bhagavat. Hearing Bhagavat Katha. So the kings are so deeply interested in hearing Bhagavat and worshipping the Lord in the temple. And similarly you find Krishna performing his duties to his wives, to his family and everything, to the praja also. So, Vena, forget about forgetting duties, he was actually exploiting the public. Using his position. So this is one of the problems. When one is given the position of a king, he may accept all the privileges and enjoy the privileges without doing good to the public. The purpose of accepting the post of a king should be a healthy possession of power. Using the power for the welfare of the public. That is actually the role of a king. Another thing, a king can become victim of wine and women. You see? Like Lanka Naresh, Ravan, Danyamali on one side, Mandodari on the other side, they both always used to tell him, my dear king, what do you lack in your life? You have everything you need. And we both are there for you. Why are you flying here, flying there, going to different places and looking for more and more women? Because when one gets a big position, then one may consider that I am the supreme enjoyer. Then one may want to. And such a person's heart will never be satisfied. One can fall prey to sinful habits. That's why once when Narada came to meet Yudhishthira Maharaj in that Maya Sabha in Indraprastha, he asked them, my dear king, are you doing your dharma properly? Or are you doing your dharma at the cost of artha, profit? Or are you chasing after artha, forgetting your dharma? Or have you forgotten both dharma and artha and you are indulging in kama that will make one glide down to hell? What are you doing? So a king should learn to balance between these two, dharma and artha. He should balance between these two and he has to give up the prohibited type of sense gratification. So that requires a lot of adhikar on the part of a king. He should be a man of character. Otherwise a king cannot live a pure life. He can become victim. Like Ravana, I was telling you, when Ravana went to take Sita, as soon as Sita realized this is a Rakshasa, in the garb of a mendicant. She gave such a sharp words. See, in the Shastra, the sharp words are called as Ukti. Ukti means, Ukti is a sharp word which will destroy ignorance and awaken wisdom. That's called Ukti. So she told him, you know, my husband, Ram, he is like Himalayas. You are like a small mound. He is like Chandan and you are like mud. He is like gold and you are like iron. He is like a vast ocean and you are like a puddle. All these things she said. He is like a Garuda that flies up in the sky and you are like a crow. Do you have any sense? How dare you are coming to take me away in the absence of my husband. She spoke so sharply, still when a person is kamanda, he becomes blinded. So a king can become dhananda, madanda, kamanda, all kinds of anda. That is why the post of a king is very dangerous, because one can fall victim to women, one can fall victim to money, one can fall victim to false pride, like we find, I was telling about Vena. And you see, Hiranyakashipu, he became king of the whole world, still he was not satisfied. Because, see, a poor fellow, his only aspiration is some food. Once he gets the food, he will be satisfied. Whereas a well-to-do man, or the king of the world, his hankering can never be satisfied. It's like putting petrol in fire. You see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives one definition of humility. No expectation from anybody, he says. That is humility, he says. As soon as there is expectation, there will be frustration. You will see. For example, say you are getting into a bus, and you are thinking that it will be nice if I can get a seat in the bus, and that seat should be on the left side because right side sunlight is coming. And that too, in the left side, it should be second or third seat, so that, you know, I can easily get down also later. So with that expectation, you are waiting for the bus. Just imagine. And you somehow or other, you barge into the crowd and you go and sit in a seat and the conductor is shouting at you, "Hey, Ujjava, this is Sri, you know, Sriyanka Sita." You feel very bad because you had expectation, you see. But if you don't have any expectation, you are waiting for the bus. Somehow or other, you got a bus, you will be very thankful. Thank God, although the crowd is very heavy, I got a bus somehow. I don't mind standing also. And then if somebody gives you a seat, you'll be very grateful. And somebody gives a window seat, you'll be even more grateful. And they give you on the left side, even more grateful. If somebody gives you a seat close to the driver, so you can easily get down, you'll fall on their feet only. Is it not true? You'll be so grateful. See, when we don't have expectation, and we get something, we are grateful. And when we have expectation, and if it is not fulfilled, we become so frustrated, and that frustration leads to more frustration. That happened with Hiranyakashipu. I am the king of the world, and I should achieve anything I want. I get what I want. That was his slogan. And this five-year-old boy, when he refused to chant Om Hiranyakashipuve Namaha, he said, "How dare this young boy is not chanting my name?" He got wild. That's why he asked him, "How did you get the power to overpower me?" So you will see, these are the problems. He is king of the world, everything is at his beck and call, everyone. He told Prahlad, "Prahlad, all the leaders and presiding deities of all the loka, every loka has got a presiding deity, and they all are trembling in front of me. They put their turbans and their mukut in my feet, and standing in front of me with folded palms, they all are trembling. How dare that you have no fear for me?" He asked him. So you will find, because he became a king, he had everything in his control. He thought that I can control even a pure devotee like Prahlad. So you will find that when one occupies the position of a king, one loses sanity. And in this way, one may misuse the position that one is given. That is why you find here, Swayambhava Manu, he wants to retire and push off. You see? And also a king may give up religious activities and may indulge in distracted other activities. Like you see, Prachina Parishad king. He was doing Kriya Kandesh Nishnatham, it is said. He was a very great expert in performing Karmakanda. And when Narada came, he preached to him so vigorously about, you know, going beyond this material realm and going back home, back to Godhead. Prachina Parishad was so inspired by Narada Muni's teaching, he said, "My earlier teachers never taught me what you taught me, Bhagavata Dharma now. I am packing now, immediately going to forest now, taking Vanaprastha." His ministers told him, "My dear king, Prachitas have not yet come back. Let them come. You put them in the post of a king, then you can go." He said, "That work you all do it." He said, and he pushed off immediately. Even before sons returned back, he already went to take Vanaprastha and go off. So that is the power of the Bhagavata Dharma philosophy. So, if a king doesn't want to become the king, but he accepts the post of a king as a service, then such a king can be acting in the capacity of a real king, because he can represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead very perfectly. That is why the kings were so close to God. It is so important. The kings were aware of this type of philosophy. You know, when Meru and Nabi, when Meru Devi and King Nabi, when they were performing yajna, you know, they were very ashamed to ask the Supreme Lord for a son, you know. And as the yajna was going on, suddenly Lord Vishnu appeared. And the king was so shy, he didn't even speak out. He just bowed his head down. Because they wanted a son. Why? Not for sense gratification, they wanted a son to rule the world after him. So the Brahmanas told Lord Narayana, "Oh my dear Lord, the king is very uneasy to ask you for a boon of a son, but on his behalf we are asking." And then they said the king is feeling very ashamed that he is asking for a material benefit from you. And then they were saying, Adakatan Chitkalana Chutpadana Jrumbana Dwaravastana Adishu Vivashanam Nasmaranaya Jvaramarana Dashayam Sakala Kashmala Nirasanani Tavaguna Kritanam Dheyani Vachana Gocharani Bhavantu. It's in prose order. They were praying, and they are saying, Atha Katanchit Kalana, my dear Lord, it's likely that when you are walking in the road, we may stumble and fall. Kshut Patana means, sometimes we may be very thirsty or hungry, and we may not be able to chant your holy names. Sometimes we may be in the lavatory, we may not chant your holy names. Sometimes we may be fast asleep, or sometimes we may be jirumbana means, like yawning. While yawning, you cannot chant Hare Krishna. You cannot chant when your mouth is open, suddenly one dies. Can you imagine? How will you chant while yawning? Isn't it? Or one may climb up on the top of a roof of a building and slip and fall from there and one may die. Or one may have marana jwaram. They say jwara marana dashayam, 107 degree Fahrenheit. Marana jwara, one may die, unable to chant the holy name. One may be in ICU. ICU means Yamaraj is watching. ICU. Mahavishnu Maharaj says. Yamaraj comes to see the people in the ICU, he says. So, in such a marana jwara, one may not be able to chant the holy name. And then they are saying, jwara marana dashayam sakala kashmala nirasanani tava guna kritha nama deyani vachana gocharani paramvantu. They are saying, your potent holy names, which can completely eradicate all our misgivings, all our anarthas, and which can elevate us back to your lotus feet. Please, bless us that we will be able to call out your holy name even in those circumstances, situations. May your name form pastimes, qualities, activities, may they become awakened in our heart even in such a moment of crisis, they are saying. So this was the aspiration of kings. See King, what is his name? Katvanga Raja. Katvango nama Raja Rishi Nyatve Yutta Miha Yushaka Muhurtat Sarvamutra Jagatavan Abhayam Harim. It is said, Katvanga Raja was a pure devotee also. He fought for the demigods against demons. And the demigod said, my dear Katvanga, what do you want? Would you like to have some apsaras with you? Would you like to have some, you know, heavenly beverages to drink? Or would you like to spend some time with our heavenly hill stations for some period of time? Katvanga said, I don't want anything. First you tell me how much time I have before my death. They looked at the panchanga, looked at his horoscope and said, King, we are very sorry to tell you, you only have one moment left. Muhurtat. Muhurtat means that the time of death came to him. Only one moment. Immediately the king closed his eyes and meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Gatavana Bhayam Harim. He went back home, back to Godhead. In one moment. You see, this is an intelligent king. He did not waste his time here and there. In fact, that example is quoted by Shukadeva Goswami to inspire Parikshit Maharaj. That fellow had only one moment, yoga 7 days. Tavapye tarhita kauravya saptaham jivita avadhi. He said, yoga saptaham. You got 7 days with you. So you are better placed than Katvanga Raja also. Don't worry. You can easily absorb yourself in remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the kings were very inclined to focus on remembering Supreme Lord and returning back home, back to Godhead. But when Brahma advised Priyavrat that the Supreme Lord wants you to take up the post of a king, that is why. So with one last pastime I would like to conclude. As devotees, we have to be soulish, not selfish. Not selfish for the body and mind, but soulish means We should be selfish for the needs of the soul. And one of the most important needs of the soul is taking out sufficient time to cleanse our heart, so that when we accept posts and positions, we will be in a position to render some valuable service to the people of this world. Because if we have not done the homework, without having done the cleaning of the heart, you know, we will only create a mess in the society. We will make mess into a bigger mess. We cannot bring about order and good in the society. So, and how do we cleanse the heart? That is by the chanting of the holy name. As Kulashekara very beautifully says in the Mukundamala, Vyamoha prashamaushadam munimano vritti pravrityaushadam daityendrartika raushadam tribhuvane sanjeevanai kaushadam paktatyantakaraushadam bhavavaya pradvamsanai kaushadam shreya praptika raushadam pivamana sri krishna divya aushadam. He is saying this is a divya aushadhi. It is a divine medicine. Prabhupada said, I am from a pharmaceutical shop. I have the tonic by which one can go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada wrote to one famous leader. He said, I have the tonic, how to go back home, back to Godhead. So that tonic is the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting the holy name repeatedly and attentively, with absorption, developing attachment to the holy name, then one can accept this medicine. By which he says here, it can destroy the moha in our heart. Even in the presence of dhanam, janam, sundarim, one will not be attracted to them. One will not be attached to them. Even though one may be sitting in a throne, post, one will not be attached to the post. Guru tells you accept the post of a president, accept the post of president. Guru tells you, work in the farm, or wash the cows, you wash the cows. Actually, one wants only service. Besides service, one is not inclined to anything else. One is not concerned about how I can increase my popularity, name and fame, how I can increase my influence over people. Kitna log mujhe mante hain. This kind of attitude, these are all pratishtha. And this kind of cleansing of the heart will take place by chanting of the holy name. So in the last 3 days we have been having wonderful camp by Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Prasad Bhagavat Maharaj, and especially for the leaders of ISKCON Leeds group. The ISKCON India is very wonderfully progressing. In the last one decade I have been observing, all the temples are becoming more and more serious about training their people in Krishna consciousness, in getting a solid grounding in Krishna consciousness. You see, when you don't earth the electric items, then you get a shock, isn't it? Because when you have earthed it, there is no shock. And earthing means what? Don't have the head in the clouds, but have the leg in the ground, it is said. So, amongst all the different grounding programs happening in India, conducted by different temples on their own, temples are going for Bhakti Shastri nowadays, temples are going for stabilizing their congregation, and I think ISKCON Leeds, what Maharaj has started in the last 3 years, and the first batch is almost completing the ISKCON Leeds, assisted by Vamshivadan Prabhu, is a very, very noble endeavor. I am very confident it will be pleasing to the heart of Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada in 1972 he wrote a letter saying that we have got the milk, but you have to boil the milk, because better than milk is rabadi, isn't it? How many of you like rabadi more than milk? So rabadi is a seasoned devotee. So training and education makes a devotee become more seasoned, and that is made possible by this Leeds program. And Maharaj was chosen by the GBC for the GBC succession committee, so that he can come up with a grand blueprint for training the leaders of India, north, east, west, south. They can be brought. Actually, it's very difficult to bring people together. Everybody is busy in their own temples. But Maharaj has aroused the interest in people by his... once I asked Maharaj, that Maharaj, if people don't come, how are you going to do this program? He said, okay, they will not come for the first batch, but what about second batch? What about 20 years from now? What about 200 years from now? He was asking. That goes to show his enthusiasm. He is very confident that if you begin some good work, even if people don't recognize it immediately, it will be appreciated and people will take advantage in the time to come. He wants to give a wonderful direction to ISKCON India Yatra, and we are very grateful to him, especially the Holy Name Seminar which he gave in the last 3 days. I felt it is so absolutely essential for every leader of our society to go through this. It is so valuable because the root of all success is here, in chanting the holy names properly and developing taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and falling in love with Guru Parampara and Krishna. There is no alternative actually to become successful in spiritual life. And if you are successful in spiritual life, then every Vaishnava will become like a magnet. They can attract more and more people to the movement, to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna very easily. We don't have to chase after the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls will want to come and take shelter of Krishna. We can make our movement very attractive. So I want to especially offer my special thanks to Maharaj for this sincere initiative that he has taken. And I also want to appreciate all the lead devotees who have come taking out time from their regular services in temple. I know very well, for a saffron devotee to take out 4 or 5 days in a couple of months is not an easy thing. Every time you go, temple leaders ask you, how many more courses? When is it going to get over? So, coming together in Vaishnava Sangha and creating this powerful strength that comes by Sangha, we are thankful to all of you for this wonderful participation. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavad Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.